It literally changed his life. He was a good Jew boy. He was settled in the Jewish religion. He was an up-and-coming star. And it was his true belief that this Jesus thing had to be done away with. And he took it upon himself to be one of the ones who stood for what was right against that rebel, that revolutionist, that blasphemer who was trying to destroy the Jewish religion. But what happened that day changed his life and ours because of the powerful and wonderful things that he wrote for us. So what a day. Saul was blind spiritually. Then he was blinded physically. And then his eyes were open spiritually. And then his eyes were open physically. But during that process, he learned something, some very important things. Things that each one of us needs so desperately to fix firmly and powerfully in our minds today. And so that's what we want to do. We want to go back and look at those hours whenever Saul was a blind man and see if we can see what a blind man saw. One thing that we see is that he saw that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, how could he not know about Jesus? Certainly he did. He knew about him. That's the reason why he was doing everything he could to destroy his influence that he had left. But oh, what a powerful influence he had been. His words, just the words that he spoke were so deep and so, yet so understandable. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, people were amazed at what he taught. Because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. One of my favorite stories about Jesus was whenever the temple guard was sent to take him into custody. And whenever they got there, they listened to him and they came back without having arrested Jesus. And so they were asked by the priest, why did you take him? Why did you take him into custody? And in John 7 and verse 46, they said, because we have never heard anybody speak like that before. They were so awed by the power of his words that they could not even arrest him. In fact, in John chapter 3 and verse 2, one of the Jewish leaders who came to see him said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do except God be with him. So why couldn't Saul see this? Because he was blinded in his heart. But Saul, what about the miracles? Oh, I didn't see no miracles. Well, what about the things that people said about him? he was raised from the dead. Oh, his disciples took him. Got in there, stole the body, and they went and buried it somewhere. When you're blinded, those things that are so obvious, you can't see. And that's what was happening to Saul. He was blinded, but he was going to see. Because on the road to Damascus, with writ in hand to take into custody Christians and put them to death if necessary, but certainly bring them back to Jerusalem for trial and for punishment, a bright light shone in his eyes so that he could not see. And he cries out, "Who are you, Lord?" And the answer he received was, "I'm Jesus." Man, can you just imagine what must have been going through his mind? Everything he had ever believed in. All of his efforts in these last months were against that which now he saw. He was a believer. He didn't question when Jesus said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting." He didn't say, "Well, now wait a minute, give me a sign." He believed that this was Jesus. Something that each one of us needs to do. There is a lot of difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. Saul knew about Jesus. Yeah, he knew about him. But he didn't know him. And for the first time, as a blind man, his eyes were open to a powerful truth that Jesus was the Son of God. To really believe that changes lives. Because if you really, really believe, and that's something we're asked to do, is confess that faith in Jesus as the Son of God when we are baptized. Because if you really do believe that, then you have to believe his words are true. And if you believe his words are true, then you have to believe that you must obey them and follow them. Because he is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but by him. The Apostle Paul would believe this and he would live it. He would not only now know about Jesus, but he would know him. And he would say, "I will give up everything, everything, and count it as nothing, that I may," watch it now, "know him." Know him. Not know about him, but know him. And the power of his resurrection. And he would later write and say in Philippians 1 verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And Galatians 2 and verse 20, he would write and say and proclaim, I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, this life that I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus is the Son of God. And even a blind man can see that. Not only that, but we see how that he saw that he was a sinner. Maybe for the first time ever, he saw himself clearly. Because when you see Jesus as the Son of God, as your Savior, then you have to see yourself in need of a Savior. Saul thought he was doing the right thing. He said, in fact, in Acts 23 and verse 1, he said, I've lived before God in all good conscience until this day. Acts 24 and verse 16, he would say, herein am I exercised myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man always. In Acts 26 and verse 9 and 10, he would say, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I thought. Boy, we hear that today, don't we? Well, I just don't think God wants me to be unhappy, so that just opens the door for anything I want to do. I thought it ought to be this way. Reminds me of old, who was it that was, Dip, Mike, help me out here. Who? Yeah, Nahum. Yeah, Nahum. Nahum was a leper and went to find healing of his leprosy. Only to be told to go dip in the river Jordan for 7 times. You remember his statement? Well, behold, I thought he would come out and wave his hands, call on his God, and I'd be healed. He's going back home. A leper. Until finally his servant talked some sense in him. And said, why don't you just, we're going to go right by the river anyway. Why don't you just dip 7 times? It's no big deal. When he put himself aside to obey God, he was cleansed and his skin was as pure as a baby. How many times will we find individuals in our world today lost because I thought. Well, Saul of Tarsus thought he was doing the right thing. He even said on one occasion in 1 Timothy 1 verse 13 through 15, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. And Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Even though he was blind, he could see as he had never been able to see before. Which is something we all need to realize. As Paul wrote in Romans 3 and verse 23, that we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we're a liar. And the truth is not in us. When we realize that our sin will destroy us and that Jesus is the Savior who can save us, it will change our life. And there is no other way. John 1:14, verse 6, Jesus himself said, I'm the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. His apostles would write in Acts 4, verse 12, that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in Luke 10 and verse 16, Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words rejects the Father. So here, even though a blind man, he may have seen himself as he had never seen himself before. But then another thing we notice is that he saw that Christ and the church are one. Whenever he asked Jesus who he was, he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And Paul didn't say, now wait a minute, I haven't persecuted you. I'm just persecuting the church, the followers. He didn't say that because even as a blind man, he realized that Jesus and the church was one. When he was persecuting the church, he was persecuting Jesus. Even a blind man could see that. God tells us about this relationship that Jesus and the church has by likening it to that of a husband and a wife. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we read how that a husband and wife become one. We read that as well in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6. And then in Ephesians 5, Paul said that the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. He also says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And then he said, this is a mystery that's great, but I speak in regard of Christ and the church. The oneness that exists between a husband and a wife is a likeness of the oneness that exists between Christ and the church. Another thing that this blind man saw is he saw that his religion couldn't save him. He was zealous about his religion. He had been brought up and taught in the best way by the best of teachers. And that's why he was so ingrained and solid in his father's religion. And that's why he was so tenacious about doing what he thought was right in his religion. But what he had to realize was that his religion could not save him. Paul said about himself in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, he said, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. So he was a good religious boy. But Jesus had taught that there would be a price that we would all have to pay. And some maybe a price higher than others. For it might even involve family. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus said, if you love your father or your mother or your brothers or your sisters or even your own life more than you do me, you cannot be my disciple. So it's something that each one of us has to be serious about. Look at ourselves back about what is right. And sometimes those decisions are extremely, extremely hard. But it doesn't mean that we're not, that we're turning our backs on people we love, because we seek a way that we really believe will lead us to eternal life. But then finally today, what a blind man saw is what each one of us must see, and that there's something that he had to do to be saved. And it was more than simply believing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's more than simply believing enough to let Jesus come into our hearts. Because if ever there were a man who believed in Jesus, it was Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Because the very master himself said, "I am Jesus." And yet, when he asked, "What must I do?" he was told, "Go into the city and it'll be told you what you must do." And in Acts 22, we read how that an angel appears to Ananias, a preacher, and says, "Go and tell Saul of Tarsus what he must do." Now, Ananias wasn't real big on this deal because he knew who Saul was. His reputation was very, very known throughout the Christian community. In fact, even after his conversion, it took some time because they thought, this is a trick. Here's a man that'll do anything, and he'd only prove that, do anything to destroy the influence of Jesus and those that believe in him. But after they were around him for a while, it didn't take long to know that he was indeed fully and totally committed to the power of Christ. So what did Ananias tell him when he came to see him? He said, "Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized." Now watch this. This is very important. "And wash away your sins." So, if a simple acknowledgement of our faith and belief in Jesus as the Son of God saves us, it saved Paul in his sins. Was he a believer? Absolutely. But he still had to do what every one of us has to do. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God? Absolutely. Without it, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. "For the one that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He had to repent of his sins, and that he did. 3 days, 3 nights, blinded praying for forgiveness. A willingness to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Not baptized to show that our sins are already forgiven, but baptized for the remission of our sins. Same thing on the day of Pentecost. After hearing Peter's sermon that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, who was now seated at the right hand of God, the message which pricked the hearts of thousands, and they cried, "What, men and brethren, what must we do?" These believers were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So is baptism any more important than faith in God? Absolutely not. But it is certainly something that is not less important. And as we can see, this blind man did not question. But he arose and immediately was baptized for the remission of his sins. And he was the one that would write in Romans chapter 6 that we are to be baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are raised to walk in newness of life. So these are some powerful, powerful truths. Would to God that we could see what a blind man saw. It saved his soul and can save ours. Will you come while together we stand and sing?